that today. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come today and we thank you for being a loving God, and we thank you for all the wonderful blessings. Father, we ask a special prayer upon Peggy and the kids as they go to junior church. We ask that you would bless their time together. Father, be with us as we come to your precious word. Father, may we not just be hearers of your word, but may we always, always be doers of your word. And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to continue in our sermon series on the gospel according to John. And today we're going to talk about eternal security. Eternal security. How we don't have to depend on a hope-so salvation, but instead we can have a know-so salvation. And that's what John chapter 10 is all about. It's all about Jesus teaching that once you are truly a part of God's family, you will always be a part of that family. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And today we're going to look at verses 22 through 29. You can follow along in your own Bibles. There are Bibles in the pews for you if you didn't bring yours, or you can follow along on the screen. Today, again, I'm reading from the TLV, the Tree of Life version. John chapter 10, verses 22 through 29. Then came Hanukkah. It was the winter in Jerusalem. Yeshua was walking in a temple around Solomon's colonnade. Then the Judean leaders surrounded him, saying, "How long will you hold us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us outright." Yeshua answered them, "I told you, but you don't believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify concerning me, but you don't believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Now I think everyone here today knows what Hanukkah is. Hanukkah is the holiday that our Jewish friends observe around Christmas time. It's also known as the Festival of Dedication or the Festival of Lights. It actually commemorates when the Jews reclaimed and dedicated the temple after it had been defiled by the Greeks in 164 BC. Now, in our scripture reading, the Jews who are celebrating the Festival of Lights, they didn't even realize that Jesus, the light of the world, was right there in their midst. And instead of celebrating Jesus as the light of the world, the Jewish religious leaders started pressing Jesus, started pressuring him. They said, "Plainly, tell us if you're the Messiah." And look again at what Jesus said in verses 26 and 27. "But you don't believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." And then Jesus gives one of the most powerful statements about eternal security of a believer. And that is that once a person is a true born again believer, that person can never, never, never lose their salvation. Period. How many of you have ever heard of the Halfway to Hell Club? Anybody here ever hear of that? Well, the Halfway to Hell Club was an exclusive club organized by 19 men who fell from the Golden Gate Bridge during the construction in 1936 and 1937, and they were saved by a safety net. You see, in the early months of the construction of this bridge, all the way back in 1933, 11 men fell to their deaths in the water below. They even stopped working on the bridge for a while because they considered it way too dangerous. Well, the designers of that bridge, they came up with a solution. Let's just build a safety net under the work area. Now, at that time, it cost over $100,000, and as a result, the Halfway to Hell Club came into being. And let me tell you something. The workmen who were working on the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco said that the presence of that safety net gave them a lot more confidence in their work, and it led to greater efficiency. Now, why do I tell you that? I tell you that because the same thing can be said of the Christian life. When you know you're saved, that's what gives you the assurance and the confidence to serve the Lord with gladness. It is a great blessing to be saved, but it's an even greater blessing to be saved and sure that you're saved. Because I'm telling you, that's when you can work with confidence, knowing that underneath you are the everlasting arms of a loving God. You know, one of my favorite hymns, and we sang it before I came up here, is Blessed Assurance. It's written by that great hymn writer, Fanny Crosby. And I don't know about you, but I just love the words. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Well, what I want to do this morning is I want to give you five reasons that you can have this blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Now, the first reason you can have this blessed assurance of salvation is because it is a promise of God. And God doesn't break promises. Friends, there are over 100 verses in the Bible that teach that once you are a part of God's flock, you will always be a part of God's flock. And don't miss the wording that Jesus uses here because it's really important. In verse 29, Jesus said, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all." Here's a picture I want you to see. It's God the Father who gives those who are saved to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Let me repeat that. It's God the Father who gives those who are saved to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. If you were here with us last week, we looked at the young shepherd boy, David, to help us understand the Good Shepherd, Jesus. And what we see in the story of David is David had a father, and David's father was Jesse. And Jesse gave David a flock of lambs to watch over and to care for. And not just for a couple of weeks or for a couple of months, but for as long as they live. And let me tell you something. David would have known everything there is to know about those lambs. And those lambs would have known David's voice, and they would have only followed David. Now, Jesus also has a father. And the father has given Jesus some lambs. Us. And the father says, "Son, I'm giving you these lambs. They're yours. And I'm also giving them eternal life. They'll never perish. They'll always be yours. And they will recognize your voice." But here's the problem we run into when it comes to salvation. In many ways, salvation is still a mystery that we can't fully understand. I mean, think about it. When you became a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, did you immediately understand anything about divine election? Probably not. I know I didn't. It was only later, after reading and studying the Word of God, that we actually learned that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That the two forces of salvation, divine election and human responsibility, are perfectly balanced. But we do need to be careful here, because once you become out of balance, okay, once you become out of balance with either divine election or human responsibility, that's when you become unbalanced in your belief. And that's why it's so important to grab on to the promise that nothing can separate you from God's love. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, the Apostle Paul nails down this promise. Look at what he writes. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Messiah Yeshua our Lord." That's a promise. Nothing can separate you once you're saved from God. You notice Paul mentioned how many things here? 10. He mentioned 10 things that are going to try to separate us from God's love in Jesus. He said, first, there's death. But Paul says death can't separate us, and that's because when you die, you'll be escorted into the presence of God. He says life can't separate you, and that's because right now you are living in a love relationship with God by faith. He then goes on to say 8 more things. Not even angelic powers, demonic powers, or human powers can separate you from God's love. Nothing in your past, nothing in your future can remove that connection. Nothing is tall enough or deep enough that can hide you from God's love. And if that's not enough, he said, any other created thing that I forgot to mention, that can't steal the love that Messiah Yeshua, our Lord, has for you. And friends, let me tell you something about God's promises. God's promises are as secure as God himself. I love what Charles Spurgeon once said about the promises of God. He says, "God cannot go back on his word. His promises are like checks he has written. And we need to do, and all we need to do is endorse them with faith and then present them to heaven's bank for payment." All right, let's move on. Second reason you can have this blessed assurance of salvation is because of the perseverance of the Spirit. The perseverance of the Spirit. Now, don't mistake this for the doctrine of perseverance of the saints. How many of you have ever heard of the perseverance of the saints? Wow, we have no Presbyterians in this place. No Presbyterians. Larry, I thought you were a good old Presbyterian boy, and you didn't even raise your hand. It's one of the 5 points of Calvinism. One of the 5 points of Calvinism. It's the P in the acrostic for tulip. Come on now. Now, I don't identify as Calvinism, as a Calvinist, even though some people think I am a Calvinist. You see, I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of putting labels on people. Don't put a label on me, and I won't put a label on you. But I think a better way to express eternal security is to call it the perseverance of the Spirit. And that's because it's not up to me, it's not up to you to persevere. It is the Holy Spirit who lives in us that's going to persevere as he molds us to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, he expressed it this way in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, I am sure of this very thing. Now listen to this. This is all about this blessed assurance we're talking about, knowing that you're saved. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day Messiah Yeshua. Let me ask you this. Who convicts you of your sin? Your husband, your wife, me? No, the Holy Spirit. Who converts you to Christ? Me? Your husband, your wife? No, the Holy Spirit converts you. You see, friends, here's the thing you have to remember. The Holy Spirit does all that stuff. And the Holy Spirit is going to complete what he begins. In other words, he finishes what he starts. How many of you here have ever started something and then couldn't finish it? If you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar, right? We have all started something that we just... look at all the women looking at their husbands and going, my house is full of stuff you started in. We've all been there, haven't we? That's not God. God has never started something that he couldn't finish. Guys, he began a good work in you, and guess what? He's going to persevere until the day of Jesus. And that means that, well, it'll either be the day you die and meet Jesus, or it'll be the day that Jesus returns and raptures the church. But either way, he's not done with you. He's going to keep working on you. And we got a fancy word for it. It's called sanctification. Once your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, guys, that name will not be taken off that list. Your name will not be taken off that list because he promises to finish what he started. Again, another promise. All right, let's move on. The third reason you can have this blessed assurance of salvation is because of your new position as a believer. And this position can be summarized by two words, and we sang about this position in our second praise and worship song, the song that Paula sang and said that she really likes, and by the way, which I also. The two words are in Christ. You are in Christ. The two most powerful words in the universe, in Christ. That's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, did you know that that phrase, in Christ, or in him, or in the Lord, or in the Messiah, appears 164 times in just the letters of Paul alone? That's telling me that that's kind of important, to be in Christ. That's the glorious truth of salvation. It's that Christ is in you, and you are in Christ. And the Apostle Paul writes about it in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. In other words, if you're in Christ, you're safe. And you know, the Apostle Peter gives us a really good picture of this in his second letter. He writes that Noah and the ark is a picture of salvation. How many of you know that? That's why it's in the Bible. That's why God had it. God used it as a wonderful picture. Used it a wonderful picture of what salvation is all about. In other words, you and I are in Christ as Noah was in the ark. You all know the story, right? God said, Noah, there's going to be a flood. People have gotten so violent, the people have gotten so evil that I am just going to destroy the earth. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to save you. I'm going to save your wife. And I am going to save your three sons and their wives. So what did Noah do? Noah built an ark. And Noah took 8 pegs of wood and he drove them into the side of the ark. And the Lord said, Noah, when the flood comes, each one of you, I want you to go out there and hold on to those wooden pegs as hard as you can. And if you can hold on during the flood, you will be saved. How many of you are telling me right now, that's not right? Where'd you get that story from? That's not how the story goes. But unfortunately, that's the way some people understand salvation. If I can just hold on long enough until I die, I'll be saved. Well, I got news for you. You're not strong enough to hold on. God has to hold on to you. Stop with this idea, I need to hold on to God. You're not strong enough. You have to allow God to hold on to you. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, God said, come, you and all your household, into the ark. And then don't miss this. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, it says, then Adonai, God, shut him in. Just as God locked us into salvation. In other words, God shut the door to keep Noah in and to keep the floodwaters of judgment out. As long as Noah was in that ark, he was safe from the water of God's judgment. And in the same way, a believer is in Christ and is eternally shielded from the judgment against sin. Now, while Noah was in the ark, I'm sure he was stumbling around a bit, don't you think? I mean, there's probably quite a few waves going on there. He was stumbling around, but he couldn't stumble out of the ark, could he? Because he was locked in. And in the same way, as believers in Christ, there are some times that we stumble around, huh? Sometimes we stumble around in life. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we just make some real stupid mistakes. But friends, that doesn't mean that you lose your salvation. Just because you did something stupid, just because you did something without thinking it through, just because you gave into a temptation that Satan threw out there, that does not mean that you have lost your salvation. You just need to repent, confess it to God, and he forgives it, and you move on. And we try to do better. And we try to do better. And we see a wonderful picture of that in Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. The Apostle Paul writes, focus your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. Now, when it says you have died, this doesn't mean that you die physically. This is talking about dying to selfish desires, and that God promises you a double security. I don't think most people realize, who are Christians, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, how secure you are in God. I really don't. I really don't think most Christians realize that. I want you to think of salvation as this lockbox. I'm going to make it very simple for you. I have a lockbox. I'm going to take this dollar, and I'm going to put this dollar in this lockbox. Then we'll pull the key out. This dollar is secure. Nobody's going to get in it, right? And then what I'm going to do before I go home today, I'm going to take this lock box and I'm going to lock it in the church safe. This, my dollar is now what? Doubly secure, isn't it? It's in this lock box and it's in the big church box. That's salvation. This lock box represents Jesus. When you are born again, when you come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you go into this lockbox. You go into Jesus Christ. You are in Christ. And then what did Jesus say? You're not only in Christ, but since Jesus is in God, you are what? You're in God. You are doubly secure. Nothing can take you away from God because you're in Jesus Christ. And you are also in God. I mean, that's what it says. For you have died and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. You are in Christ. Messiah is in God. You are doubly secured. You can't even walk away from your salvation. That's how secure you are. I really like what the Greek scholar A.T. Robertson said about this verse. He said, so here we are in Christ, who is in God, and no burglar, not even Satan himself, can break through this double level of security to separate us from the love of God in Christ. That's how secure you are. Stop with this nonsense of, I lost my salvation. Oh, I'm saved. Oh, I lost my salvation. Oh, I'm saved. I lost my salvation. Oh, that person lost his salvation because he's acting like an idiot. No, sorry, he hadn't lost his salvation if he still believes in God. We make mistakes from time to time. We do dumb things. We are doubly secure in God, though. See, a true Christian will always repent. Will always come back. All right, let's move on. The fourth reason you can have this blessed assurance of salvation is because of Jesus' prayer. Every Sunday we recite something called the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Something that I kind of brought back. We had it when I first got here. I stopped doing it for a while. Did some other things. I like to change things up in the worship service from time to time. But now we're doing the Lord's Prayer again. You know, I personally think a better name for this prayer would be the Model Prayer. I don't think it should be called the Lord's Prayer. I really think it should be called the Model Prayer. Why? Because that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus was trying to teach his disciples how to pray. Now, I don't believe Jesus ever prayed this exact prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that we pray. I don't think that prayer ever came out of Jesus' mouth. Why? Because as the sinless Son of God, did he really have to pray, forgive us our sins? No, he did not have to pray, forgive me my sin, Father. No, because Jesus never sinned. So Jesus never said this prayer. Never said this prayer. You want to find the real Lord's Prayer? Go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is where you'll find the Lord's Prayer. We also call it the high priestly prayer of Jesus. It's the prayer that Jesus prayed the night before he went to the cross. And in that prayer, he prayed for the disciples and everyone who would believe of their testimony, which includes us. Now, in that high priestly prayer, in that Lord's Prayer, Jesus prayed for quite a few things. But friends, don't miss verse 24. He mentions those who had been given to him by his Father. Look at what he prayed. Father, I also want those you have given me to be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, the glory you gave me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. In other words, Jesus was praying that we would always be with him. Jesus was praying for our salvation. And let me tell you something about Jesus' prayers. God answers Jesus' prayers. He answers his prayers. I mean, not only did Jesus pray for us 2,000 years ago, guess what? He's praying for you right now. That's what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save completely those who draw near to God through him, always living to make intercession for them. You have a Savior who is praying for you right now, moment by moment, day by day, year by year. That's what Jesus does. He makes intercession for us. In other words, we are as eternally safe as Jesus' prayers, and Jesus' prayers are safe. I love this message. You may. I don't know if you're excited about it, but I love it. I love talking about the security of the saints. Man, I've been speaking about death for too many Sundays. This, I like this. Because this is where Jesus is coming right now. You're eternally secure if you believe in me. I'm not letting you go. I don't care. I'm not letting you go. Well, let's finish it up. The fifth reason you can have this blessed assurance is because of the power of God. Again, security of salvation is not up to you holding on to God. You're not strong enough. It's up to God holding on to you. He is strong enough. Look again at what Jesus said in verse 29, and I want you to notice the last two words, because the last two words are the most powerful words in the universe. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. No one is able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. You know, in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 13, God said, surely my hand founded the earth, my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand together. And God also said in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16, behold, don't miss this. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Think of an engraving like a tattoo or something. It's engraved on you. Think of it that way. Once we belong to God, there is nothing to snatch onto. We are engraved in the palm of his hand. You can't, there's no clothes, there's nothing. It's like a tattoo. Can you grab a tattoo and pull it? No. It's engraved. It's on you. That's what salvation is. Once you're saved, you are engraved in his palm. Nothing's going to take you away. You are as secure can be. Stop with this nonsense that you can lose your salvation. Stop. Those of you who have been taught that from a young, young age that you can lose your salvation, that is a lie from Satan himself. Because he wants to keep you down. Because if he can keep you believing that, you're never going to have joy. That's why you have so many Christians walking around defeated. They have no joy because they think they can lose their salvation. Stop listening to that nonsense. Once you are truly a born-again believer, nothing can snatch you away. You're good to go. My goodness, look at the life of Peter. Did Peter fall from time to time? Yeah. But the guy, but I'm telling you, Peter came to understand that it wasn't up to him to guard his salvation. And that's because God was guarding his salvation. And it's the exact same power that's guarding our salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Peter wrote, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. In his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead, an incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading inheritance. Listen to that. An incorruptible, undefiled, unfading inheritance has been reserved in heaven for you. Oh, man. By trusting, you are being protected by God's power for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Friends, it's not a matter of us holding on to God. It is a matter of God holding on to us, and he's not going to let us go. All right, let me close with this. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They," notice, "I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Notice the double security here. First, it's not going to snatch them out of Jesus' hand. And then he says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Double secure. Friends, those nail-scarred hands of Jesus hold your life in a way that you can't. Because I got news for you. Our hold on this life is shaky at best. A doctor's visit, a car accident, a school shooting, a flood, a fire, a disease. There are so many things that can break our grip so easily. And you may not want to hear it, but one day you will lose your grip on your home, your family, and your very life. But friends, not Jesus. Jesus doesn't lose his grip. Jesus holds your life wholly and entirely. You are a precious, precious sheep in his hand. And friends, he will not let you go. Not until he's ready to set you down gently, safely in the green pastures of heavenly paradise. You see, friends, it's not your grip on Jesus that's important. It's his grip on you. Jesus is the one who grips you in his arms at your baptism. It's Jesus who places his divine food right into your mouth with his sacramental meal of body and blood. It's Jesus who speaks into your ear in his holy word. It is Jesus who has made you a sheep in his flock. Sheep don't make a flock. Shepherds make a flock. Sheep are in a flock, but it's the shepherd who gathers them together. And you have all been gathered together by the good shepherd. And you have been gathered forever. You see, by the grace of God, your good shepherd has placed his nail-scarred hands around you. And that means that no trial or temptation, no cancer or car accident, no divorce or demon can harm you. And that's because your good shepherd stands between you and your enemies. And nothing can snatch you out of his loving arms. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this blessed assurance of our salvation. Father, we need to hear more messages like this. There are so many ministers that are teaching that you can lose your salvation. And Father, that's not true. If you are truly born again, you cannot lose your salvation. The Bible makes that very, very clear. Now, the important thing that people need to do today is for those here that are here today and they're absolutely sure of their salvation, that they have truly accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they need to go home with a smile on their face and just enjoy life because they're saved. Nothing can snatch them away. But if there is someone here today that has some doubts, that aren't quite sure if they're saved or not, Father, would they please talk to me today? I'm always the last one to leave this service. And believe me, I do not need to be at the business meeting. I would rather talk to someone about their salvation than come to the business meeting. So, Father, I ask if there is someone here that's not quite sure about their salvation, that they don't know if they have this blessed assurance. Father, would you put it on their heart to see me before they leave so we could talk and we could make sure that they are saved or if they need to make a commitment to you? So, Father, that's my prayer. Father, you don't want anyone to be lost. You want everyone to be saved. And, Father, today is the day of salvation. So if anyone has a decision to make, Father, may they come and see me. Father, we love you, we thank you, and it is in your Son's precious, precious name that we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Please stand as we close our service this morning with I Surrender All. We're going to be doing verses 1 and 2, and if you want to follow along your hymnal, it's page 486.